It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on Patriots Friday and OMF, time for our weekly get-together with Mike Lombardi, sponsored by Town Fair Tire, by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details, and by McFarlane Energy. Check out McFarlane's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlaneEnergy.com. And joining us live on the Harbor One Hotline is indeed Mike Lombardi. Hey, Mike.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. How are we doing?
Good, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Well, we're in a different position up here, Mike. It's the first time we've seen the team under 500 in the month of October since Fourier was on the team back in 2002. So it's a little bit different. Should we throw out last week because they really couldn't practice during the week, or is this team in a little bit of trouble?
Well, I mean, I think they couldn't practice, and it looked like they didn't practice. I mean, their execution was horrible. They couldn't throw the ball effectively. And, you know, they didn't play well in any phase. I mean, other than just being good in the red zone, was really the thing that saved them and kept that game close. And as bad as they played, you know, they're one play away from winning the game. I mean, if Cam throws the ball out there for Bird to catch, you know, they could win the game. But that's, you know, you can't play that in the game. Their offensive line was a mess because of the injuries. I think that you got to be concerned about how they're playing. You got to be concerned that there was no practice, and they've got to show some marked improvement in the next couple of days.
Okay, so we can pile on the excuses for Cam Newton and how and why he played so poorly, but give me your assessment of him over the four games that he has played as a passer. Forget about him as a runner and what he can do when a play breaks down, but as a pure passer, how do you think he's been so far this year?
I think he looks uncomfortable. I don't think he looks in rhythm yet. I think that's part of the process when you've only had, 15 practices in the summer, no OTAs, no minicamps. I think he looks like a guy who's learning his way, walking gingerly through the jungle and not sure about the trails and not really cutting it loose and not feeling like he believes what he sees. I think this is commonplace amongst quarterbacks. I think, you know, practice is, even though Allen Iverson doesn't think it's important, it is important. I think he looks like a quarterback really unsure. I don't think you can say anything other than that. And I think they're unsure in terms of how they're going to develop within the system him. I think there's also that too, you know, and I think they have to get back to doing what he can do effectively, but that takes practice as well.
Mike, Gronk's been out of here now for a couple of years. We've just been trying to look at this tight end position. And even, you know, the last year or so when he was here, there was still enough rumors to talk about a possible retirement. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what this team has done, Bill or Caserio, as far as that tight end position. How do you explain how they've left it bare the last 2 years in an offense that we've always seen how much they involve tight ends? How have we gotten to this point?
You know, that's a hard question. I don't know. I mean, you know, the question I ponder is, you know, is how is Ryan Izzo the only tight end that could really help them? There's got to be somebody, right? You know, and he's been on the team. I mean, you know, we had the kid went out for COVID last year, the kid that started, you know, played the blocking tight end. So, you know, I think it's a hard position to find. I think it's a difficult position to really understand what you want. You know, Gronk's an exception because he can play Y and he can play F. And most of these guys in the NFL that are catching passes, with the exception of maybe Kittle, typically just play F. I mean, Kelsey's just a big receiver. And if that's what you want to run with your offense, then that's fine. If Kansas City has no problems with it. He rarely blocks at the point of attack. He blocks at support. So I think it's a challenge, and I think they have to, and they would be the first to admit it that they have to get better at it.
Yeah, but what about just the guys this year? So you mentioned Ryan Izzo, and, you know, I mean, he is who he is, so it's hard to bash a guy that's doing the best that he can, and in my opinion, has kind of reached his ceiling. Mm-hmm. But what about the other guys? You drafted two guys. Keene's a healthy scratch. Asiasi sees the field, you know, at a small level. He played all the reps after Izzo fumbled that football, so I'm thinking that's a sign, Mike. I'm thinking that they wanted to find a way to get Asiasi in there. They didn't trust him up to now. He probably has enough goodwill equity. And then if you pair that with Izzo's fumble, here's an opportunity for Asiasi to slide in and start being a part of the offense?
You know, I think if Asiasi had shown anything in practice where he was really dependable, I think they would have gotten him in there. But I think, again, there's no practice, so it's hard to really tell. And it's hard to really say, hey, let's go with him. And I'm sure he's struggling to involve and get immersed into the system. As you know, a young player, a rookie player without practice, it gets overwhelmed by the volume of what he's dealing with in terms of the offense. And it just becomes massive. And, you know, Asiasi's a kid that has great skill. You know, when he's probably without pads on, he looks really good. But when the game becomes more physical and he's got to think and react and do all that, maybe he hasn't caught up to the speed of the game, but they got to do something at tight end. I mean, they can't do anything in the middle of the field. They can't create a mismatch at all, you know, and then when they do make a play, the kid fumbles. And I'm not blaming Izzo for everything, but to me, it's hard to believe that he's one of 32 starters in the NFL.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. We've been throwing this theme around all week long that three quarterbacks on the field this Sunday, one of them could be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots in 2021. Cam Stidham and Jimmy G. I don't know what you think of Jimmy G. Belichick loved him, obviously did not want to give him up, but had to basically because of the cap number. Could you see Jimmy G coming back to New England and Bill Belichick?
I could. I mean, you know, he didn't leave on bad terms. It wasn't, I don't think anybody in that building when they made the trade thought Jimmy G couldn't play. I think there was situation of that, you know, with Don D representing both Brady and Jimmy G, with Brady continuing to play at a level that really, you know, no one thought he would. When we drafted Jimmy G in 2014, who would have thought in the year 2020 Tom Brady would still be playing quarterback? No one. Now, maybe Tom did, but I don't think anybody could honestly answer that question. So I could see him coming back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, you know, Kyle, when he went into the Jimmy Garoppolo experiment, wanted Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, for all you want to say about him as a 49er fan and how you're overpaying him, you would have done twice as much damage had he been able to get his hands on Kirk Cousins. So, you know, Jimmy's at least prevented that. And he takes a lot of heat for their play and their inability to throw the ball. But they don't have a drop-back pass game. This game on Sunday is really about how – the Patriots can stop the run, how they can play from in front and force the 49ers to throw the ball from a drop-back set, which is something that Kyle's never really been great at doing. He doesn't have a lot of scheme in that area. And so that's what I think they have to do. And Jimmy has, you know, done a good job last week at what he was asked to do. I think it's possible.
Well, we know the money, and the money is like $28 million next year. They can get out with $2.8 million of dead cap money. So they're going to have to make a decision on Jimmy G at the end of the year. But is Kyle's system the issue right now with Garoppolo? Shouldn't he be better than what he has been?
I think Kyle Shanahan's system is very quarterback-friendly. There's no doubt about that, and especially when the running game is going really well. And, you know, when he got benched 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure that was performance-related. I think that was really injury-related. He did not look like the same player. I don't think he looked like the same player. And last year, and the year he got the big contract, he's played well. I think consistency is probably Jimmy's biggest downfall. He doesn't play consistently enough week in and week out that he should do based on his talent level.
You know, Mike, you were just talking earlier about, you know, when I asked you about the tight ends, you said it's kind of – it's difficult to find one, and I would agree. You know, there's not too many great tight ends out there, but I would say the last two or three years, it hasn't been too hard to find wide receivers when you look around the league. So where are we at with those? Because I look at the tight ends, and then I look at the wide receivers and say, you know, N'Keal Harry, Edelman's beat up, and it's just the last two or three years, it seems like they've come into the year. Now, they've been able to pick up guys like Sanu and Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, but going into the year, it's always like this plan is like there's just not enough there.
I think if you were really honest about the Patriots' evaluation of wide receivers over the course of their tenure, I think they would be the first to say they haven't really nailed it down. I mean, you know, it's been challenging. Look at all the receivers drafted. Look at their, you know, I drafted Deion Branch, who was a really good player. But other than that, you know, trade for Randy Moss and, you know, sign Danny Amendola, get Julian Edelman in the seventh round as a conversion, trade for Wes Welker. You know, so I think, you know, it has been a concern. It has been, you know, opportunities. You know, they had Brandon Cooks trade him away for get the one back after the year that he had. So I can't disagree. I mean, they have to find a way to become more explosive. They've got to become find faster. They can't continually just always, when teams play man-to-man, lock on them and not have any separation.
So, Mike, so where, as far as, you know, there's the top-tier teams like the Steelers and the Chiefs, right, in the AFC, and then there's like a couple rings down where you may have, you know, the could-possibly-do-it type teams. Do you still have the Patriots as a playoff team as far as where they're at right now? Like right now, do you think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't. They're not a playoff team if they don't improve. I mean, not with the way they played last year. I mean, you're asking me right now. You're quantifying it. Do I think they're going to play like this? No. But you want the answer based on right now. I mean, you obviously know the answer you want to get. There's no way anybody could think they're a playoff team the way they played last weekend.
Okay, so Nobody knows anything about football, but
the reality is they've got to get better. They didn't practice for 2 weeks. I think the Steelers are an elite team. I think the way the Steelers play, the way Tennessee plays. This is the first time, this will be the fifth time in the National Football League that two undefeated teams have met this late in the season. And every time the winner of the game goes to the Super Bowl. So the Titans-Pittsburgh game, I wrote about this for The Athletic today. It's going to be an interesting game. But look, I'm not on here shilling for the Patriots because I think Coach Belichick would say the same thing. They got to get better.
So you think they will get better and they will become a playoff team? Is that
I do.
Easier?
I really do. I think, look, Buffalo, we were going to put Josh Allen in the Hall of Fame 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we had his gold jacket. We measured it. We tailored it. You know, he had his speech already. He was headed for camp.
No.
You know? And now all of a sudden, you know, now I'm not saying you guys were. I'm saying most of the media. I mean, I laughed at Kyle Brandt when he said that Josh Allen was going to be a MVP candidate. I talked about it on my podcast, the Geo Shuffle. Then I laughed about it. You know, and then after 2 weeks, I get people telling me, you're an idiot. He's going to be the idiot. No, he's not. He's not accurate with the football. So, you know, the one thing about the NFL, time is always, always going to win.
So, last one for me. So, yeah, they could improve, right? They got a couple of big weeks here before this trade deadline, Mike. You know, whether it's San Fran and then Buffalo right there in your face. Like, if it doesn't go well, like, because everyone's talking about the Patriots as buyers. Is there a chance that someone like Joe Tooney could be moved? Or even Gilmore, with the way you look at his contract and what you could get in return. Is there a chance they're sellers?
I mean, I think they're, you know, I think the one thing with Coach Belichick, he's always a buyer and a seller based on the deal. He's a deal maker. He's not a buyer or a seller. He's a deal maker. So whatever the deal comes across his desk that looks good, he's going to make it. He's not shocked. He's going to make it. And they're positioned next year to be in good shape. 2021, when most of these teams in the National Football League, let's take Atlanta, for example. Atlanta's kidding themselves. They got no cap room next year. They're going to have to start reducing players off their team. Just to get under the cap. Philadelphia the same way. And, you know, you've got to prepare for that. That's what Minnesota did by them making their trade. They're starting on next year. They do what they do. Now, a lot of teams are going to take this money this year, the excess money, the $60 or $70 million that the Patriots have this year. They're going to just roll it over into next year so they have even more money.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
I hope it's better next week. I can tell you that, guys. Thanks a lot.
If it isn't, a lot of ugly talk, maybe trade talk. See you, Mike. Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline right here on OMF.